Moses humbled faith. Born in Egypt, the cradle of the most powerful nation, Moses is beautiful in God's eyes, Acts 7. Moses experiences the best of worldly knowledge, power and riches, as well as spiritual power and riches. He excels as a leader in both situations. From training in the palace for the first 40 years of his life, he is then trained in the wilderness by God to fulfill his purposes in the final 40 years of his life, to lead Israel in the glorious exodus to the promised land. Palatial training. At birth, his parents hide him by faith, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Hebrews 11. Pharaoh orders a mass massacre of Hebrew baby boys, probably knowing that a deliverer would rise. Among a few, Moses is not only protected, but inadvertently picked up by Pharaoh's daughter to be raised in the palace. Though he later claims before God to be weak in speech, in Egypt, he was mighty in words and deeds, Acts 7. In spite of his royal status and accomplishment, he identifies and participates in the suffering of the Israelites. In the process of trying to reconcile two fighting Israelites, one thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" Acts 7. This statement is repeated in verse 35 as the mindset of the Israelites who reject Moses while he is trying to help them recognize that God has made him their deliverer, verse 25 in Acts 7. Providential training. The harsh retort from his own people hits Moses hard, Acts 7. God is developing in him a shepherd's heart, required to shepherd his people. King David faces a similar situation in Psalm 78, 70-72. Moses is ready to successfully deliver a nation in the most dramatic exodus the world has ever known and be a voice of God to a rebellious nation. Purposeful living. God chooses him at the burning bush to deliver and lead Israel. They continue to rebel and thrust him aside, Acts 7:36-39. While rebellion is rampant, he is most humble before God, Numbers 12:3. In spite of the greatest wealth in the world, in spite of the greatest power of God. Till the end, he has all faculties intact. God himself buries him and doesn't allow him to enter the promised land. In a grand finale, however, he appears with Elijah, with Jesus, in the promised land. Do we persevere through repeated rejection to serve God's people? Are we humble enough for God to use us for his purposes?